everybody today. I just sent a message. I've got a niece and a nephew waiting for their results today. We saw some of the highest A-level results in history on Tuesday. But following analysis of the data, there are some concerns. Yes, there are. Not just about how high the marks were, but actually inequalities. James Turner, who's chief executive of the social mobility charity, the Sutton Trust, is worried they will reflect disparities.
Our particular worry in all of this is how pupils from poorer backgrounds have performed. We know that COVID has hit them really hard in education terms. So they've struggled with home learning, they've struggled with access to a laptop. For A-levels, we have seen this widening of the gap between poorer students and their classmates, between state schools and independent schools. And we are concerned that we might see something similar with today's GCSE results.
Our reporter, Greg McKenzie, this is John's Bosco College in Battersea for us today. Morning to you, Greg. Just remind us a little about where you are and its significance.
Well, good morning, Eddie. I'm in Battersea at St. John's Bosco College. It's actually a school and sixth form. So they've got 741 students here, and today 110 of them will be getting their GCSE results. Now, I'm with the head teacher, Paul Dunn. He already knows the results for these students. They're coming in at 8:30, Eddie. We didn't want to get them in too early because they've had a tough old year, and we're talking about 15, 16-year-olds. So they'll be coming into the school in about 20, 25 minutes, and I'll be here as they open their envelopes to get those results. I'm also joined with David Antey. He's a senior teacher here. So let's bring in the head teacher now. Paul, I mean, a difficult year for these young students, slightly different to the A-levels because I guess their ages.
Morning, Greg. Yeah, it's been a really tough year for the children since the beginning, really the beginning of their two-year GCSE courses. We went into lockdown early part of their year 10 in the sort of February, March time. And since then, their whole kind of educational programme has been disrupted. And I think they've worked really, really hard over the last, 18 months to get to the point today where they're going to be opening their results and hopefully in many, many cases, delighted with the results they get.
And David, to bring you in, you're a senior leader here. What does that mean? You're a senior teacher here. You are hands-on. You're in the classroom. What's it been like? Paint a picture for us.
Good morning, Greg. Thanks for having me this morning. Well, in terms of the conventional classroom setting, students haven't been afforded that luxury during the last 18 months or so. So as a subject teacher, we've worked tirelessly. We've worked in collaboration to ensure that the grades for which students are given today are accurate. We have ensured that we have provided opportunities to all of our students throughout the periods of time for which they were at home. So as we're hoping in the next 25 minutes when the students do arrive, they will be celebrating, and it will be a celebration of all the hard work and dedication and all the hard work and dedication of our teaching body.
And Paul, in terms of the criticisms in terms of the grades this year, there are scepticism that they're too high. Some students are going to be graded higher this year. I mean, what do you make of that? And I guess the disparity between state school and private schools, because this is a state school where we are, Eddie.
Yeah, it's quite a complex issue that to unpick, isn't it? I mean, I think the factors that lead to a gap in performance between children from different backgrounds, those factors have been exacerbated by the lockdown and by the pandemic rather than narrowed. That's almost self-obvious. I think in terms of the assessment process, I can speak for us as a school. And one of the things we've set out to do, to be fair to all of our students, particularly those students who would have achieved exceptionally well, is that the programme that we've put in place to assess them has been rigorous. And I've heard a lot of talk about children doing coursework and children doing kind of mock exams. But the reality is, and I think it's true probably across most schools in London and across the country, we've had three assessment points. Kids have come in and done probably more exams and more assessments over the last 2 or 3 months, or certainly the last 2 or 3 months of the academic year, than they would have done if they'd done their GCSEs, because it's fallen upon schools and the burden of setting the papers, marking those papers, moderating those papers has fallen on the schools to do. And actually much of that work has gone into it, you know, and there's been an extra burden on teaching staff. But what that's meant is that the professionals are assessing the children and they're assessing them on a series of performances, which tends to flatten out those things that happen in exams, you know, on the day it went really well or on the day it went really badly. because we've had to take a literally 3 points of assessment, we've been able to kind of assess the grades in a much fairer way. So actually, whilst there have been teething problems, there are issues with this, of course. And the narrative around grade inflation, for me personally, is a shame, because if we frame the narrative in terms of grade inflation, we're actually, I think, looking at it from the wrong end of the lens. I think what we should be saying is our young people have been through a horrendous 15, 18 months. Their education has been disrupted. And actually what they've been able to do is to stick with it, to show resilience, perseverance, grit, all of these things that we don't often associate with young people, but actually they've showed it in spades, as have the staff that have been working with them in school. And actually then to get to this point where they've stayed on the horse, so to speak, they've kept studying and they've done these assessments, and we've got robust evidence, as have all the schools that we've presented to exam boards, to say this is what these kids can do. So actually, you can probably hear it in my voice, I'm really proud of our kids, because they could have just thrown up their hands and said, well, we're not going to do it. You know, we've had a tough year, it's not fair, da 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 da. No, they haven't. They've actually cracked on and done really, really well. So yes, if the grades have gone up slightly, I think that reflects the fact that what schools are doing is accurately assessing the performance of children in the best possible way, as opposed to the kind of the lottery of an exam.
Wow, incredible, incredible. There you have it, Eddie. Well, we'll be speaking to these students very shortly as they arrive, and we will find out. Now, of course,
Before you go, just listening to those teachers there, I wonder, I've been looking at this a lot, can you ask our teachers whether or not they think coursework, teacher assessment and mock exams are a fairer, better way than having an exam at the end of the year?
Eddie, I think that it's you've got to strike a balance with all of these things. I mean, I think, you know, this year has been different in terms of also the content that kids have covered, and therefore there's been a narrower focus in those assessments. But I think it's difficult to say that one's fairer than the other. I think with most things in life, you take a balance and you take the best of most things. So if you're looking at different subjects, for example, art and design technology, where kids are making things, clearly a situation where they're doing coursework, you're looking at their skills over a period of time, it's a far more sensible way of assessing them than sticking them in the room for 8 hours and kind of putting them under pressure to come up with a masterpiece. On the other hand, there are certain topics, you know, certain subjects where an examination is testing core skills, and children need to see something that's unseen, they're unprepared for it, and therefore they can show the skills that they've got. So from my point of view, I think striking the right balance is the key.
But you have just described a much more nuanced way of analysing the skills development and attainment of our children than is currently in place. My worry, sir, and I have to call you sir, because due respect to the work that you guys do, is that what we have now is COVID has uncovered all sorts of challenges in our world where people have and people don't have. And if you've got broadband, you're going to be okay. If you've got mum and dad at home, you're going to be maybe okay. If mum's working at home while you're trying to work at home, if you don't have a device that you can use, if you don't eat properly, as you've heard, that fighting to get food for children. So for me, I'm looking at it like, if we help mental health, we find somewhere for people to live, we can. It seems to me that this is a wonderful opportunity, not just in education, to just take a look at the whole thing. Am I just getting carried away with this? Well, it just seems that you've described something much better than what's in place already.
No, I think Eddie, what you're saying rings true, because we've, I think over the past 2 years, 18 months, as individuals working in schools, have had to learn lots of new skills as staff, as adults, you know, teaching old dogs new tricks, so to speak. And I think it has forced us all to look at, you know, what matters, what works, and actually reassess what we do. So I think one of the things going forward, we'll be looking at this, how do we harness the power of the digital technologies to improve what we do? It's also shown up the fact that there is no substitute for relationships, for face-to-face teaching, for adults and children to be working together, for children to be working with other children. So that peer-to-peer support, which again, when I was asked at the beginning of this, you know, what have the kids missed out on? One of the fundamental things they've missed out on is that peer-to-peer support. So I'm all for using what we've learned over the last 18 months to 2 years to actually move forward and think about ways that we can overcome those barriers. And, you know, a lot of talk was given during the lockdown to laptops and to digital poverty. And actually, we were supported very well. Lots of local programmes like Battersea Power Community, Battersea Power Station Community Programme. Our local authority supplied us with lots of laptops. You know, we had the laptops. But actually then getting the laptops into the home, getting the children supervised, giving them the right environment to work from home, when a lot of our kids live in, you know, very small flats, you know, kind of with very little kind of outdoor space, all of that stuff. So there's lots of issues that have been thrown up. And I think what we have to do as education professionals, as wider society, is look at the things that have worked well over the last 18 months and try and put those in place going forward.
I just pray that somebody does. Final question for you. Are you going to continue with the appearance evening via, do I still get my 6 minutes or am I going to have to go through the line again? Because that bit of it did work, didn't it, if we're honest?
Well, speaking purely from the teacher's point of view, of course, we love those online parents' evenings because it kind of it can help to speed things through. I think, again, it's horses for courses, Eddie, isn't it? It's what works for the parents and the children. And what we want to do always in school, and I think this is true of all teachers, you speak to any school in London, we put the kids first. And if it works better to have their parents here in person, we'll do that. If it works better for their parents to be doing meeting us online, we'll do that too.
Listen, my fingers, my toes, everything's crossed. We're going to come back later and let's hope you've got some absolutely ecstatic youngsters there. A pleasure to talk to you. So Greg there with two of the teachers over there